họ thánh cho tôi cơ hội để phục vụ và học với Chúa với hội thánh sáng hôm nay. Và trước khi tôi bắt đầu chia sẻ lời Chúa thay cho gia đình và vợ tôi xin chúc mừng năm mới quý cụ ông bà anh chị em, và tôi xin trong năm mới này Chúa sẽ ban phước trên quý vị một cách đầy ơn dồi dào của Đức Thánh Linh, ơn phước trên quý vị, và biết rằng cái sự bình an và thịnh vượng của Chúa Jesus Christ là hơn nhiều của thế gian này, và mong rằng chúng ta luôn luôn gần gũi với Chúa. Tôi biết chắc rằng Chúa sẽ đổ phước trên quý vị và tất cả gia đình của quý vị năm mới này. Và như một sư đã nói, tôi sẽ chia sẻ bằng tiếng Anh, mặc dù chúng ta nhóm chung với nhau, mặc dù thế hệ lớn, nhỏ và ngôn ngữ tiếng Anh hay tiếng Việt, tôi mong rằng Đức Thánh Linh sẽ hướng dẫn chúng ta, người nói và người nghe, biết rằng Đức Thánh Linh là người phát biểu lời của Chúa sáng nay. So, tôi xin cảm ơn Hội Thánh có sự kiên nhẫn và sự thông cảm trong giờ thờ phượng, mặc dù chúng ta nói tiếng Anh và mục sư sẽ tóm tắt lại bằng tiếng Việt. Mong rằng quý vị có thể kiên nhẫn, biết rằng các em có cơ hội được nghe lời Chúa một cách dễ hiểu cho các em trong giờ sáng hôm nay. Well, good morning. Happy New Year. If you don't know, today is the Chinese or Asian New Year, but we as Vietnamese, we celebrate that as well. The opportunity for us to worship together, regardless of age and generation, I think is a blessing. So I will be speaking in English this morning, and Pastor Lin will summarize in Vietnamese, but I hope that all of us can listen to God's Word together, regardless of language. If you've been with me while I've been with you these past months, we've been studying this theme of seismic shifts, and I just want to review quickly what we've been talking about. Yeah, next screen, please. We said a seismic shift is an earthquake, meaning that an earthquake, even though it's a big event, it starts very small. And I believe God can do great and big things for our church. God can do great and big things for you as a person. And God can do great things, I believe, for the Vietnamese community and church, because our God is great and our God is big. And what we said it all starts with you. God can use you in His great kingdom. And it says that we can also be the continuing link. People came before us and people will come after us, but God uses you, God uses me, God uses all of us to proclaim His gospel and to be that link of carrying out His kingdom. And third, we said, is don't be lulled into thinking it's over. Sometimes an earthquake is over, we think it's done, but it happens again. It's called aftershocks. And I think many times in serving God, in ministry, we think God is not moving, God is not working. But God waits for His time, and when it happens in a great way. Then we said another shift is a shift from me to God. And we looked at King David, if you remember that, in 1 Samuel. And King David had everything. King David was king. King David had a nation. He had wealth. He had an army. He had a nation. But David realized that everything was about God, and he had to shift from himself to God. All his previous successes and achievements had to shift from me to God. I hope you realize that. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's always about God. My legacy shifts from me to God. What I've done in the past, and also my complete dependency and future shifts from me to God. I think us as family, us as parents, there's nothing greater than for us as parents, for our children, right? We want our children to carry on the legacy of not just our family name, not just of our family accomplishments, but we pray that our children can serve and love God even after we're done. Shift our dependency from me to God. And then last time I was here, I just spoke with the English service, and I shared with shift from brokenness to blessings. Brokenness to blessings. There's a reason we're broken, and it's because of our sin. And we looked at the passage in Luke 7 about the woman who had the alabaster jar of perfume, and she poured that on Jesus' feet. And the reason for her brokenness was because of our sin. But what was her response? And our response to brokenness is that we must repent. And she repented by crying and kneeling before Jesus' feet. And the reward for her brokenness was Jesus forgives. And what I believe is there's a reason for our brokenness to blessings. Next, please. Is because when we surrender our heart and our mind and our body to Jesus Christ. And second is because we allow God to remake and to remold us. And thirdly, it allows us to identify with others. You know, when we share about Jesus and when we listen to people's problems and we listen to people's brokenness, isn't it easier for us to understand and sympathize and pray for them because we've been broken too? We're all sinners, are we not? We've all felt broken. And I share with the youth last time is maybe you don't feel broken because you're young and you're strong, and maybe you don't feel broken because you've never gone through the hardships of your parents, but I think all of us have had some kind of brokenness in our emotion and brokenness in our relationships, haven't we? We've all been broken. But only Jesus can help us overcome, and we can share that with a brokenness to others. So today, I want to continue with this shift from doing to being. Shift from doing to being. Has anybody here in school read the book by Charles Dickens called A Tale of Two Cities? Have you read that? Okay, I see heads nodding. And it's a classic. And if you go to school here in America, they make you read it. I read it when I was in high school. And it started like this. It was the best of times, and it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epic of belief, and it was the epic of incredulity. It was a season of light. It was a season of darkness. It was a spring of hope, and it was a winter of despair. We had everything before us, and we had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven, or we were all going direct to another way. These famous lines hint at this novel's tension between love and family on one hand and the oppression and hatred on the other hand. This book suggests that there's good and there's evil. There's wisdom and there's folly. And there's light and there's darkness. And all of us in our struggles deal with this tension, these struggles of contrasting called doubles. And I believe these contrasts or these doubles is something that always affects us in our daily life. And in the New Testament that we read together, I want to illustrate this use of doubles or this use of contrast on a spiritual basis. Luke compares and contrasts two sisters, Mary and Martha, and the relationship to Jesus in this particular occasion. I'm not saying one did good and the other one did bad, but what I'm saying is one did good and the other one did better. And I think us, sometimes, when we have Jesus before us, He gives us two options, and we can do better. We can do better when Jesus is before us. So we look at the passage in chapter 10. I'd like to read with you, but as Jesus and disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to Him what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and asked, "Lord, don't You care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the same Mary and Martha of Bethany. Now, if you're familiar with the Bible, there's three occasions that we study and see Mary and Martha of Bethany. These are the same two sisters that provided dinner for Jesus and His disciples. We have Mary who anoints Jesus with the expensive perfume, which prompts Jesus to rebuke her. It's also the Mary and Martha where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. So this occasion, I want to share with you, I think it illustrates the spiritual principle of doing to being. The shift from doing to being first requires you to be in the proper position. A proper position. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. The tale of two sisters was their positions. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Martha went to the kitchen. Mary was at the feet of Jesus, and Martha was in the kitchen. The Greek word here for sit is parakathizo. It doesn't mean just to sit. It means to sit near. sit near. Luke is telling us, friends, proximity matters. Luke is telling us that we need to be near Jesus as much as possible. In the first century, a teacher teaching a student, the relationship of the student sitting at the feet of your teacher, sitting at the feet of your master, was the proper place for a disciple to be. Sometimes you go to school now and the teacher sits here, right, and you sit in your chairs. How many of you, when you go to class or go to a session, where do you sit? I've done some teaching. You know where most people sit? They sit in the back. Why? Maybe they can sleep. Maybe they can text. Maybe they can leave early. I don't know. Churches are the same way. We always have the first seats that are empty. Everyone wants to sit in the back. But the first century is like, if you have a teacher who wants to disciple you and teach you and impound wisdom on you, you sit as close as you can to your master. That's where Mary sat. I told you about the three stories of Mary and Martha in the Bible. If you notice, every instance, Mary is always at the feet of Jesus. In John 11:32, when Lazarus, Jesus arrives, what does she do? She falls at the feet and cries out to the Lord. In John 12, at Lazarus' home, when Jesus invites them for dinner, Mary again comes and sits at the feet and pours her worship and perfume on the feet of Jesus. And again, Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Why? To listen and to hear the voice of Jesus. How are you listening to the voice of Jesus today? Where are you sitting listening to Jesus? It only can be accomplished when we devote our time and our space and our mind listening to the Word of God. Reading and meditating the Word of God, John 17:7 says this, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth." You know, the world here tries to tell you what's truth. How do you think, how do we find our truth? TV? I think we all agree that's not the truth. Google? Wikipedia? We think that gives us the truth. But we know it doesn't. Only the Word of God gives us truth. My question to you is, how often do you spend close as possible to the Word of God? How can you be the person that God wants you to be unless you spend time with His Word? Friends, getting close to the Word of God is crucial. We must read it. We must meditate it. We must study the Bible. Today, with technology, we have so many ways to study and read the Bible. My wife and I drove this morning from Dallas. It was basically a 3.5-hour drive. And she was listening to her iPod, and I was listening to my iPod, because we were listening to messages, and we were listening to whatever we can, even though I couldn't read while I was driving. You have all these things available to you to listen to the Word of God. Moving down to Texas, one thing I found out is that everybody believes in God. I'm happy. Up north, you know, sometimes people says, "I don't believe in God. Don't talk to me about the Bible. Don't talk to me about church." Here, I see a church on almost every street. I see people going to church on Sundays. I see everywhere I go, people talk about God. It's a wonderful place to live here if you believe in God. But my question to you is, it's okay, one thing to talk about God, one thing is to say, "I go to church," but how often do you stay close to the Word of God and the read and meditate on the Word of God? I see a lot of churches that I call it side door ministries, ping pong, basketball, volleyball, all these things to get people into the church. And that's good, and that's fine, and we should do that. But please don't ever forget that the ultimate is for them to understand that the Word of God tells them that Jesus Christ is your Savior, and only through Him you have eternal life. Don't forget, that's what Jesus wants us to fully understand. Now, for us to go from doing to being requires us to study the Word of God. Okay? We need to get as close to the text as possible. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Don't be reading the Word of God while you're watching TV. Don't read the Word of God, okay, while you're listening to music. Don't read the Word of God while you're trying to study. Don't read the Word of God while you're eating. Sit at the feet of Jesus and focus everything on Him. devote every aspect of your life to listen to what God is saying to you. John A. Younts quotes, if you don't spend time being with God, you won't have much to say anything about God. Isn't that true? In order for us to talk and share about Jesus requires to know who Jesus is, to be near him, to be in the correct position. My wife actually showed this illustration to me, which I'd like to share with you. Next, please. When my son lived in St. Louis, we used to drive from Pennsylvania to St. Louis, and we went through the state of Indiana. And Indiana, when you drive from one border to the other border, there's this huge cross at the border. And it's probably 30, 40, 50 feet high. You can't miss it. But it's an interesting. When you drive up, you see this cross. But depending on the position, you don't know it's a cross. What happens is that if you move closer to the side, it doesn't look like a cross. And if you keep moving to the side here, it becomes just a straight line. Isn't that interesting? Meaning, your position determines whether or not you can see that it's a cross. And I think many times in our life, Christ is the image in which we should see and portray and emulate. But depending on where we stand, we don't see who Christ really is. That's the reason why we come to church. That's the reason why we come and we fellowship together. There's a reason why people say, well, no, I'll stay at home and I'll go to church by TV. Or I'll stay at home and I'll go to church by internet. We say, no, there's a reason you come here. Because being in the correct position, being in the house of worship, being in the sanctuary allows us to see Jesus in a clearer way. Isn't that true? Our position is important. Your position dictates how you view and see and understand, and if you're not in the correct position, it can be distorted. Friends, many of you, and me sometimes as well, we are unable to hear the voice of Jesus because we're not in the proper position. Instead of kneeling, instead of sitting, instead of bowing at the feet of Jesus, you're somewhere else doing something else. Isn't that true? I'm sure as a pastor, Moshe Lin, and the leaders here, if we don't see you at church for several weeks, we want to know. We call you. We visit you. Because being here, being in the position, is so important. I don't know about your family, but our family, we try to have dinner together. It's hard. Everybody's working. We want to try to have family devotion times together. It's hard. My son, my daughter's a nurse, she works at night. My other son works second shifts. Everybody's going, everybody's coming. But once in a while, we said, can we all get together, sit at the table and eat, get together, have family devotion. Being in the position, the proper position, allows us to hear what Jesus wants to speak to us. Isn't that true? Martha, she was good intentions, don't get me wrong. Martha was trying to serve. Martha wanted to take care of the meals and the food. But sometimes, even what we want to do is good. Our intentions are good. We are in the wrong place. We're in the wrong position to listen to God. You know, today, there's debt. There's meals. There's food. And I know people are preparing food. And I understand that. We need to do that. We have visitors. We have to take care of them. I understand. But what about Wednesday nights? Do we come just to pray? Just to have Bible study? What about your small groups? Don't be in the wrong position when Jesus is saying, come at my feet to listen to my voice. Second, shift from doing to being requires you to set the proper priorities. The proper priorities. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had been made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. The proper priorities. Mary listened to the words of Jesus. Martha was distracted by her preparations. Mary listened to the words of Jesus. Martha was distracted by her preparations. The word distracted is from the word encumbered, which means to hamper, to hinder, to distract and obstruct what you're doing. The Greek word means to be pulled away, to be dragged away, hence to become distracted and busy. To me, being distracted can be summed up like this. I'm doing many things instead of one thing. Isn't that true? How many of us try to multitask? Do as much as we can, thinking we save time. But in the end, really what we're doing is we're wasting more time because we're not doing everything properly. Isn't that true? I read a survey recently. What's the leading cause of car accidents? You probably know. What do you think? Texting, right? On the phone. People are trying to multitask. They're trying to drive. They're trying to text. They're trying to talk. And then you add that, people trying to eat while they drive. One day I saw a woman driving, putting makeup on, right? We're distracted. We're trying to do too many things, and we end up doing nothing. Isn't that true? Trying to do multiple things instead of focusing on the single most important task at hand. You see, Martha was distracted. She was encumbered with all the preparing, all the cooking, all the serving. It's not bad. We sometimes have to serve. Sometimes we have to prepare. Sometimes we have to cook. And it's just not women in the kitchen. Men sometimes running up and down, setting up the stage, putting the chairs together, setting up the tables. But by being distracted, we end up not doing the single most important thing that God requires us to do at that time. And the Jewish tradition, I think, is very similar to Vietnamese tradition, right? Martha wanted to serve. My mother and my aunt are very Martha. When we have a visit my family in California, we get all together. We have a meal, and it's always the case. We're all sitting ready to go, and my father says, "Bà ơi, ngồi xuống đi." Sit down and let's pray. And she's in the kitchen just running and cooking, and she just cannot sit still. She needs to always feel like she's serving. That's her way. But I think sometimes God wants us to just sit down and not be distracted and put our priority into what Jesus wants us to hear at that time. Martha did a good thing, and I love the women in our churches. I love our Vietnamese women who take care of all the meals. They work so hard. I know a church member that I used to serve with in Pennsylvania, she said, I can't sing. I don't have a good voice. And she said, I don't know how to, play instruments, or I don't know how to lead, I don't know how to share. She said, I know how to cook. That's what my way of serving. And we love her for that. And we encourage her to do that. But then I also feel like it's the other way around. Sometimes people who serve so much, whether it's up in the worship service or other ways, sometimes we just need to sit and listen to the Word of God. And I encourage you all, take your time. Put the priority to put Jesus first at that time. Because what happens, what we see is, what did Mary say? Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work? Tell her to help me. You see here, Mary is agitated. Mary is angry. Excuse me, Martha is angry. She's agitated. Tell her to help me. And as a pastor, and maybe Mr. Lin can empathize, sometimes we get agitated because we're trying to do so much. Everybody's asking us to, what do we do? What do we do? What do we care? And we get agitated. Say, someone, please help her, help me. And then we miss the blessing, haven't we? Because we've been agitated. We become angry. And God says, calm, be still, enjoy, and receive my blessings. Ezra Taft Benson says this when we put God first, all of the things fall into their proper place or drop out of our lives. Our love of the Lord will govern the claims of our affection, the demands of our time, the interests we pursue, and the order of our priorities. Pray that God can help us put our priorities in the first and fullest. And thirdly, shift from doing to being provides you with the blessing of a promise. Of a promise. Verse 41-42, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. The decision by Mary was so received, so much in favor of the Lord, that it will be never taken away from her. Mary was sealed with a promise that will never be taken from her, and Martha's decision was a rebuke by Jesus. It's important. This promise is not about salvation. We're not talking about salvation here. What we're talking about, this choice that will never be taken from her, is that Jesus says he will always be there for you. Jesus will never leave you. The only thing that is needed, Martha, that Jesus is telling him, is that you need me. You need Jesus. You don't need anything else. What a wonderful promise, isn't it? What a wonderful blessing that is. The promise that Jesus will never leave us, never forsake us. He'll always be there for you and I. That's the promise that Jesus says can never be taken away from us. The eternal blessing of listening and sitting and getting close to Jesus, Jesus will always be there for us. If you choose Jesus above all things, above all service, all doing will eventually come to an end, because our doing here on earth will eventually come to an end. But our being in Christ will be with us forever. What a wonderful promise. I don't know about you. I implore the young friends that are here this morning. You can have a best friend. You can have a husband or a wife. One day they will still leave you. But Jesus will never leave you. That's a promise. I don't know if you know, but this year, 2015, is the 40th year anniversary of the fall of South Vietnam in 1975. And those of you who were born in America and after 1975, you probably don't even know what that's all about. I encourage you, this year being the anniversary, read up about the history of Vietnam. I really encourage you to read the history of your homeland, because it'll be talked about a lot this year. Already it's on the internet, and news is already talking about that. And you being Vietnamese, I encourage you to understand what happened in 1975. But in 1975, I was 9 years old, and my family wasn't sure if we could leave the country. The war was about to end. We didn't know that, but it was about to end. It actually ended in April 30th. April 20th, which was 2 days before my birthday, my parents said, we must leave Vietnam. I didn't understand why, but I knew something was wrong. We were in Saigon at that time, and it was chaotic. People were running, and military police and soldiers were just everywhere. We had heard on the news that the bombs and fighting up north was coming closer and closer. It was getting very frenzied. People were getting afraid. They knew something bad was coming, but they didn't know what to do. And my father, I remember talking to my mother saying, we must leave. And to me, it was like, no big deal. Let's go. Let's go to America. But it wasn't easy. Only certain people had certain access to flee the country before the end of April 30th. That day came, and I remember as we headed into the gates of the airport, people were up on the fences, on top of each other, trying to get over the fence. And police and military people were standing there with machine guns and rifles holding at people. And we were able to get through. And when we got through, it was my family, five brothers and sisters, and my parents. And I remember as we got to the line, and eventually we made our way through, and people were just everywhere trying to get in. It was chaotic. I was young. I didn't know. I didn't understand what was happening. But we finally got on the plane. We all got in. We strapped in, and the plane took off. I remember this. My father looked at us, and he said, "You know what? God promised that he will never leave us, and don't ever forget that." And to this day, I remember that. God kept his promise through everything. He's taken care of our family. And I know this. If you are willing to put your trust in Jesus Christ and willing to sit at the feet of Jesus and allow him to be your primary and ultimate focus on everything in your life, his promise to you will be he will never leave you, no matter what. Now that's a promise that this world cannot give. I pray that you come before the feet of Jesus and give him your position, your priority. In the end, he'll give you a promise. Let's pray. Lạy Chúa con cảm ơn Ngài vì Chúa đã hứa, Chúa sẽ luôn luôn ở cùng chúng con. Nếu chúng con đặt niềm tin với Ngài, chúng con dâng hết đời sống chúng con cho Chúa. Chúa hứa điều đó. Chúng con cảm ơn Chúa vô cùng. Chúng con cầu nguyện, chúng con luôn luôn gần sát với lời của Ngài, đọc, suy gẫm và biết rằng lời Chúa là hướng dẫn đời sống chúng con. Và chúng con biết rằng nếu mà chúng con đặt Chúa trong ưu tiên đời sống chúng con, Chúa hứa sự thành tín của Ngài luôn luôn bảo vệ chúng con và ban ơn phước của Ngài trên đời sống chúng con. Cảm ơn Ngài. Lord, we thank you. We know that you have given us the ultimate promise. The promise that if we put our position and our priority, you being the one and only in our life, you will give us a peace and you will give us an understanding and you will give us an everlasting promise of being always being there with us when we need you the most. When this world lets us down, you will always be faithful to us. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Mục sư Nhân tóm tắt lại những điều ông mục sư đã chia sẻ với Hội Thánh cũng như các anh chị em trong mấy lần trước. Đề tài của ông là, ông lấy đề tài là những chấn động liên quan tới hình ảnh của động đất. Và điều những ngày trước ông đã chia sẻ là chúng ta là động, chấn động của động đất thì nó phải có cái trung tâm của chấn động. Và ông đã chia sẻ với các anh chị em là chúng ta được Chúa dùng là trung tâm. Và khi chấn động của động đất thì nó có những cái đàn sóng hay là những chấn động di truyền. Thì ông nói qua cuộc đời của chúng ta thì Chúa sẽ đem những cái gạch nối đó đụng tới những người xung quanh. Giống như từ trung tâm của động đất nó tạo ra những chấn động liên hệ. Ông đã chia sẻ với các anh chị em cái đề tài thứ hai, rồi đề tài thứ ba là mà chúng ta không có... ông chia sẻ với các thanh niên ở bên kia thì nói liên quan tới vấn đề từ tan vỡ cho đến phước hạnh. Và lý do ông chia sẻ tan vỡ là vì mình tội lỗi. Nhưng mà mình tan vỡ, Chúa cho mình gặp những thách thức khó khăn thì chúng ta sẽ kinh nghiệm phước hạnh của Chúa. Ngài không để chúng ta bị tan vỡ không, nhưng Ngài dẫn chúng ta. Cho nên hôm nay ông chia sẻ với chúng ta bài giảng liên quan tới từ thực hành hay là từ sự hành động cho đến một cái phẩm tính là biên. Ông trích mấy câu của mở đầu của tác phẩm của ông Charles Dickens về câu chuyện của hai thành phố. Ở trong đó đưa ra những câu nói về sự căng thẳng của cái thời kỳ đời sống kinh nghiệm đúng sai trắng đen, vui buồn sướng khổ. Thì hôm nay ông cũng dùng trong cái ảnh hưởng đó, trong phúc âm Luca đoạn 10 thì có nói đến sự căng thẳng giữa cái việc hầu việc của bà Ma-thê và sự lắng nghe lời Chúa của bà Mary. Một người thì làm là doing, là hành động. Một người thì just yên tĩnh ở trong một tình trạng lắng nghe. Và ở đây không phải là căng thẳng giữa cái việc hầu việc là xấu hoặc là nghe là tốt, nhưng là điều Chúa muốn nói đây là giữa một cái sự căng thẳng, giữa một cái điều tốt Và Chúa muốn chúng ta có một kinh nghiệm tốt hơn trong Ngài. Và Marie đã thể hiện cái sự lựa chọn đó của bà. Ông cũng đưa tới ba cái lý do mà chúng ta có thể, làm sao mình có thể chuyển đổi của mình từ một người hành động để mình trở thành một người có một cái phẩm tính hoặc là ở trong cái vị trí tốt đẹp. Ông đưa ra ba, chúng ta phải có cái vị trí đúng với Chúa là ở gần Chúa. Học trò học lời Chúa, muốn biết ý Chúa thì phải ở gần Chúa. Và bà Marie đã ngồi dưới chân Chúa. Và Kinh Thánh đã ghi nhiều lần về câu chuyện của Marie. Bà luôn luôn sức dầu cho chân Chúa, lấy tóc và nước mắt lau chân Chúa. Bà đến ngồi ở chân Chúa, bà hôn chân Chúa. Và kinh nghiệm này thì bà cũng ngồi dưới chân Chúa để lắng nghe. Cho nên cái vị trí đúng của chúng ta là nên ở gần Chúa để lắng nghe lời Ngài. Thứ hai là chúng ta phải ở trong một cái thứ tự ưu tiên cho đúng. Có nhiều điều chúng ta phải chọn lựa, nhưng mà có một cái điều ưu tiên Chúa kêu gọi chúng ta là học về Chúa, lắng nghe Chúa, hoặc là đặt Chúa trong ưu tiên của đời sống của mình. Và khi chúng ta ở trong vị trí gần gũi Chúa, đặt Chúa làm ưu tiên trong đời sống của mình giữa bao nhiêu sự bận rộn của đời sống, thì chúng ta sẽ kinh nghiệm lời hứa của Chúa là Chúa ở gần cuộc đời của mình. Và mục sư đã cầu nguyện cho thách thức chúng ta là hỏi lại cuộc đời của mình là hôm nay mình ở trong vị trí nào trong sự lắng nghe Chúa, mình đã đặt ưu tiên như thế nào trong đời sống bận rộn của mình với Chúa. Và khi mình lựa chọn điều đó thì mình sẽ kinh nghiệm được lời Chúa là Ngài sẽ không bao giờ lìa bỏ chúng ta. Nên mục sư đã cầu nguyện thách thức chúng ta tự xem cuộc đời của mình lại và mối liên hệ với mình để mình có thể kinh nghiệm được phước hạnh Chúa không bao giờ rời bỏ đời sống của mình. Nên đó là mấy cái ý chính thôi. Cầu xin Chúa ban ơn cho mỗi chúng ta trong vấn đề theo Chúa, nghe Chúa, ở vị trí lắng nghe Ngài và để Chúa ưu tiên trong đời sống của mình. Khi chúng ta đã đặt ưu tiên đời sống của mình, tất cả những điều lo âu của mình, những khó khăn của đời sống của mình sẽ được Chúa điều chỉnh và giải quyết cho.